It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The Mississippi is a source of income and sustenance for half of our state. It runs through part of Representative Ron Kind's district in the southwestern part of Wisconsin in the Driftless area. Kind represents Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. That includes La Crosse, Eau Claire, Stevens Point, and people who live in southwestern and western Wisconsin. Kind has been in Congress for 20 years, and he has plans for the future of the Mississippi. He also joins us now to share them. Congressman Kind, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Carrie.
So we just tied up this conversation about this series that will explore the Mississippi River that Minnesota Public Radio is doing. Tell us, what does the river mean for you and for Wisconsin?
First of all, I'm excited about the series. Carrie Miller, host of Flyover, and the series Down the Mississippi. And we're very proud of it. I have more miles along the Mississippi River than any other congressional district. Mm. Now, I might be a little biased, but I think it's the prettiest congressional district in the entire nation. And it has such a huge impact on all of our lives, from economic, with the infrastructure up and down the river. Just the Driftless area alone brings about a $1.1 billion economic impact on outdoor recreation. Of course, we have some Class 1 trout streams in the area, too. But, the water infrastructure, too, getting goods and agriculture products to port and to export markets. And I'm continuing to co-chair the bipartisan Mississippi River Caucus in Congress so we can work on a unified policy that affects the river and better protects and preserves it for future generations as well.
So Carrie Miller was talking about people downstream, people in Louisiana,
yeah,
who are angry because there are a lot of contaminants in the river that we apparently are putting in. Are you talking to your colleagues in Louisiana?
I am, and that's been the challenge as far as the unified policy, because those of us in the north and those in the south have different views and different uses of the river. Those further south use it more as a river highway for just transportation, lock and dam system, flood control, flood abatement projects, whereas us in the upper Miss, we appreciate the outdoor recreation and tourism value too, but they do have a legitimate complaint. Every year there's a growing hypoxia zone, oxygen depletion zone of the Gulf of Mexico, directly related to the amount of nitrates and phosphorus that runs off our agriculture lands, flows into the rivers and streams that ultimately reach the Mississippi and then down to the Gulf of Mexico. And that's why one of the points on my Mississippi River Action Plan that I just announced last week back in the district is having a strong conservation title on this next farm bill. You know, work with our landowners, our family farmers, so they can put good land and water conservation programs in place in order to reduce that runoff.
Okay, so what does it mean to work with our family farmers? Define the term work in this.
Incentive and voluntary-based conservation programs where they get cost-share dollars to assist them in putting conservation plans in. I don't want to see our number one export being our precious topsoil from Wisconsin or the nitrates that flow off from the land. So through buffer zones, through land protection programs, through no-till practicing, EQIP and Conservation Reserve Program, all of which are part of the conservation title, the Farm Bill, it helps them be good stewards of their land and also help protect quality water supplies that we all rely on in our communities, including the Mississippi River. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why I voted against the Farm Bill when it first came out of the House. They're calling to cut the Conservation Reserve Program out of the Farm Bill, over $800 million of funding that would go to our family farmers to put conservation plans in place. And this is at a time when 3 out of every 4 farmers who are looking for conservation funding assistance are currently turned away because of the inadequacy of funds. So there's a demand there. There's more we can be doing. This Farm Bill gives us an opportunity to invest not only to help these farmers manage good, sustainable farmland, but to protect our natural resources, but especially our quality drinking water that's so crucial to everyone.
We are talking to Representative Ron Kind about the Mississippi and his plan for Mississippi conservation. What would you like to see happen to the river in terms of conservation? Could the river be healthier? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We are also taking your emails at ideas@wpr.org. Rana from Cameron, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. There was a lightning strike. Are you still there?
Yes. Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Yep, we're fine.
Okay.
Okay. So I was just going to share a couple pieces of insight. I grew up on the Mississippi River all my life in Prairie du Chien, So I'm an old, I don't know, kid of the past from when we used to swim into the river and dive down. It must have been 60 or 80 feet there, I was telling. And you'd be swimming to come up, and there's something creepy would swim alongside you, and that would be the end of swimming for the day. But I want other kids to be able to have those experiences. I remember watching the large river boats, the barges, the tugboats, all working that river really hard in moving our commerce. And the other thing I think about in reflecting back is when I was a kid, there were no large cables on that waterway. And it concerned me seeing how what's happening up in Lake Superior with the hog operation up there, how that's going to affect our water quality and our watershed. And I'm just really, really hoping that we don't have any cables coming into the Mississippi River area where I grew up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rana. Can you address that, Representative?
I can. You know, first of all, great personal story, and there are thousands of those up and down the river, those who've enjoyed it, and it's been a big part of their life, including my own. I consider myself affectionately one of the river rats. As a kid growing up on the north side of La Crosse, it was a real Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer existence for me. Every moment I try to get on the river to fish and to swim and to duck hunt and to camp on the sandbars, and it was just a great way to grow up in the region, but she's also raising a very important point, and another point that relates back to the Farm Bill. I've been leading the effort for years to try to change these agriculture commodity subsidy programs, these taxpayer subsidies that are going to a few but very large agribusinesses, these huge CAFOs that she was talking about. It's leading to more consolidation in production agriculture. It's driving up land values, making it harder to develop sustainable farming practices because of how huge they are. And we've seen time and again mistakes that are made there that directly affect the quality water supply then. And that, I think, is directly related to these Title I commodity programs and where these subsidies are directed and how it's squeezing the small, more manageable family farms out of existence because these huge entities are just raking in all these taxpayer subsidies. So I'm going to continue to fight that cause in this Farm Bill. I've got a few allies that I can work with. It's the fiscally responsible thing to do as well, but need to correct that.
You have some allies. You also have somebody, you have people who are pushing back, and introduced a similar proposal last year that didn't go through. So what's the pushback here?
Well, it's powerful special interests in Washington. You know, these commodity groups can hire the best of lobbyists, and they circle the wagons, and they attack people like me who are trying to reform the programs that they're at the trough with. And that's frustrating. But, you know, Senator Grassley in Iowa has been a champion on this cause, too, and he comes from a large agriculture-producing state himself. He sees how these subsidies are kind of distorting and perverting family farm practices. So, you know, hopefully we can continue pounding the table here and trying to do the right thing. But you can't underestimate how powerful these special interests are and how effective they've been throughout the years, and it's frustrating.
We would like to hear from you. Do you own a family farm? Would you be helped by money to sustain the Mississippi River? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Gary from Boscobel, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I spend quite a bit of time over on the Mississippi River doing wildlife photography, and I had a couple of questions for Congressman Kind. One of them is, a couple of years ago, the Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railroad put a ban on anybody crossing its railroad tracks people patrolling that right-of-way to keep people from crossing, and it basically cut off about 90% of the public access to the river. And so I wondered where that's at. And then also on your support of conservation funding for, excuse me, I've seen over the years the public has funded conservation practices on the land, such as strip crops or grass waterways or buffers along streams, and terraces, which have all been completely and utterly destroyed because of grain agriculture in the state and in the upper Midwest. And also, when I drive up that Mississippi River now, behind each dam and locks, the river out there, if you're observant, looks almost like a sewer pond with the algae blooms and the other aquatic vegetation that's growing on the surface of the water due to nutrient runoff. So the The river is really in poor shape, and I'm really hoping he can do something about it.
I think he is, too. Thank you for that. You asked, like, three questions. So let's get to the railroad crossing one. That was the one that intrigued me the most, Congressman Kind.
Yeah, there was a problem recently, just a couple of years ago, where the railroads were starting up their safety enforcement on the railroad. And right now, the law is it prohibits people from crossing those tracks. They could get cited for it. There was an effort at the state level, and this is a state issue. So I encourage Gary and others listening to contact their state reps if they want to change, which they could easily do by changing state law. In fact, the last biennium budget, there was a clause in there that would have corrected the situation. But for some inexplicable reason, Governor Walker stripped it out at the very, in fact, vetoed it out with his veto pen.
Huh.
So, but today, it's my understanding the railroads are not that strict in enforcement. But I do caution people, and we all do it anyway, that when you are crossing the tracks, be extremely careful.
Right.
The last thing the railroads want is a death on their hands because they can't slow those trains down fast enough if someone's on the track. And so it really is a safety concern. And people are going to do it. I understand. I do it myself. But be very careful if you do.
And Gary points out also that the Mississippi is not just dealing with nitrates and what have you in Louisiana, things that flow down, that here the algae is so bad that it is also on. So we're taking your calls here. Carrie from Cedar Grove, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to say this with as much respect as I can because I appreciate things. But my concern is that you keep using the term farm. These are not farms that are causing the problem. They're factories.
Mm.
The thing that they're producing is livestock, but they're a factory. They're not a farm, and it's completely different. And I think people are getting confused about that. And, again, I'm trying to say this with as much respect as possible because I understand we need them, but there is a major difference between a farm and a factory.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have in Wisconsin, there are very, very many agricultural factories, not farms.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Representative Kind, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, and it goes back to Gary's point, too, is that's the danger of when you've got Republican majority in Congress trying to drastically cut conservation funding in this farm bill. It really does then force these farms to have to plant fence post to fence post and not be able to put conservation plans in place, which leads to the nitrates flowing off the land and into the river system and into our drinking water. So that's why I've been such a strong advocate for a strong conservation title, because I've seen where it has worked very well by working with the NRCS offices, the Land and Water Conservation offices back in Wisconsin, and the technical assistance that they bring on the farm to work with these families. But, and coupled with the subsidy payments, you're going to lead to this trend that we've seen for years now, which is a greater consolidation in agriculture, these operations getting huge, and equity and hedge fund managers in Wall Street buying up farmland because the return on investment. And these aren't your typical family farm, mom-and-pop operations, and that, I think, is a very disturbing trend that we're heading in as a country.
So this farm bill, I want to switch gears for a little bit here. We have you on for a few more minutes. This farm bill that we have been talking about, this is set to expire at the end of September. What are you hoping to get into it?
Well, most of what the Senate just passed, not what the House passed. I think the House bill was horrible, made a lot of policy mistakes, and exacerbates a lot of the issues that we were complaining about just recently. The Senate did a lot better on the conservation title in maintaining payment limitation caps to these large farm entities, a strong organic title for it as well. But it is important that we make sure we're working with the family farms and we're producing a farm bill that works for them and not for powerful special interests in Washington. And that's the struggle, and it's always the struggle when this bill comes up.
I want to change gears for just one moment here. One of your colleagues, Congressman Mark Pocan, supports abolishing the nation's immigration enforcement agency known as ICE. What is your take on this, and what are you watching here?
I think it's a bad idea. ICE is a product of the policy that's being implemented. So if people have a problem with the job ICE is doing, you got to go to the top. You got to go to the policymakers. That starts with the President of the United States. We didn't have this problem in the previous administration. It was self-induced. It's just no bars, take no prisoner type of attitude to immigration policy. And to blame ICE for executing the policy that the administration is implementing, I think, is misplaced. We have to change the policy, and Congress has a responsibility to fix the broken immigration system that we have. So I don't agree with it. I saw the Senator Baldwin came out opposed as well. Mm. We do need to secure our borders as a sovereign nation, and it's important that we figure out a bipartisan way to strike the right balance in doing that.
Circling around to farms again, farms all over the country are saying that they're having trouble hiring workers because a lot of the people who work on their farms are migrant seasonal workers. What are you hearing from the people in your area?
Yeah, not just farmers, but businesses large and small. There's a workforce shortage in this country, and it's only going to get worse in the years ahead. It's one of the reasons why I opposed the Republican immigration bill that came up a couple of weeks ago. Not only didn't they fix the immigration policy and they made it worse, but they were voting to actually cut legal immigration in our country. We're not producing enough babies to make to meet the workforce needs of the future. And so the only way to counteract that is go to automation, go to artificial intelligence, go to robotics, or to allow legal immigration to come into our country to fill these positions. And that's especially important for production agriculture. So again, Congress is derelict in the duty of trying to fix these economic problems that's holding us back from reaching our full economic potential.
And we've talked a lot on this show about trade. We have a caller who asked about it, but we don't have time to get to the call. But I want to know about there are big subsidies for these big farms. How is that playing out in the trade issue? And thank you, Lori, for asking that question.
Well, it does give us some problems with other countries. It's in violation of many of the trade rules. In fact, Brazil successfully challenged our cotton subsidy program a couple of years ago. They won that challenge. But instead of Congress and the cotton representatives fixing the subsidy program, we ended up subsidizing, get this, Brazil cotton farmers. That's how crazy this farm bill has gotten. Not only are we continuing the subsidy program to a few but very large cotton producers in this country, but in order to maintain that, we had to bribe Brazil and subsidize their farmers at the same time. The average taxpayer knew half the stuff that's going on with this farm bill. They'd be as outraged as I am. And that's another thing that I've been working to try to fix.
And we're going to work things out with Canada. You have about 10 seconds.
Well, we do. There's got to be a level playing field. That's all our farmers, that's all our businesses are asking for. You do that through good faith negotiations, not by trying to bully the other party at the table. So there's a lot more work that has to go into it.
We have been talking to Congressman Ron Kind from the 3rd District. That includes La Crosse, Eau Claire, Stevens Point, and much of the Driftless area in southwestern and western Wisconsin. Representative Kind, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks, Carrie. Have a nice day.
In a moment, we're going to switch gears and talk about the governor's race. It's The Morning Show.